All right, good morning, everybody. This is a good day, ain't it? All right, I'm ready for it. Oh, yeah, here we go. So, this is something that I don't know, I received a long time ago, and the title of what I'm talking about this morning is called The Power of Peace, and it's something that the Lord's put on my heart years ago, and I'm just able to live in peace just 100% of the time. I mean, very rarely do I get completely down and out. So anyway, that's what the talk is about this morning, the power of peace. So I want you guys to imagine for a minute a picture of peace. You can close your eyes if you need to, but just picture peace. What would that look like? Where would you be? Let's say maybe you're taking a picture. You're a photographer, and you want to take a picture of peace. What would be in that picture? So y'all think about that. And then, so in case you need some help, I got a couple of pictures that are going to pop up on the screen to kind of give you an idea maybe what peace might look like. So, what do we got going on here? Looks like a dude doing a backflip over a bull that's chasing after him, what it looks like to me. Does that look like peace? Not for me. But let's look at the next picture. That's even worse. Now, that's kind of funny, though. This is the same, they're in the same arena. There's bulls out there, but one guy's doing the backflip over life, and the other guy's getting tortured by life. And I think that's what happens in a lot of our lives today, that peace is something that just doesn't exist very often. And so that's a precious commodity that too few of us are experiencing these days. The top reason for doctor visits are related to stress. Things that go on in our lives that create anxiety, create worry, create things, oh man, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? You may not have been to the doctor because of stress, but how many of you go to sleep and not worrying about, oh man, am I going to pass this class? Hey man, do I marry this girl or not? Hey man, are my kids going to be taken care of? Hey, am I going to get the job? You know, stuff like that wakes you up at night. Anybody wake up at night worrying about stuff? Come on, yeah, exactly. I mean, that just, things get out of control, and we try to control, and it makes more stress, doesn't it? So this morning, we're going to talk about what peace can do for us and how we can be at peace. Is anybody interested in that? All right, let's do it. So there's a couple of quick facts I want you to know about peace. It's a gift. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So it's not about doing everything right. It's not about checking all the boxes. It's something that's given by the Holy Spirit. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus says. "My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So peace is available. It's something that's out there that we can all have and take part in. And the second thing, it's a gift, but the second thing, it's a fruit. Galatians 5:22, y'all could all repeat this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." Come on, there's a whole list of things. And so you get peace by having a life that's grounded and rooted and lived according to the Word of God. So the big idea today is where I put my eyes determines my peace. So the first thing I want to talk about is, what can peace do for me? Why do I even want it? You know, that's something that maybe we hadn't even thought about. Do I even want peace? Well, here's what it can do for us. Number one is, peace will guide us. Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." So I remember back in the day in junior high, I used to go and play West Texas soccer. Anybody ever play that? Man, I guess Hell Center. I guess we're the only ones that did that. But it was a way of the coaches just taking the day off, says, "You know what? I don't mess with you kids today. Y'all go out, take a ball, and kick it. It don't matter where it goes, who you kick, if you kick, it doesn't matter." And it was just chaotic. I mean, you go out there and it's just no rules, no fun. I didn't like it. It was just a mess. So, that's just a lack of peace. There was no rules. Nothing was happening that was any kind of organization at all. And so what this verse is saying is, let the peace of Christ umpire your life. That's what the peace of God ruling, letting Christ rule in your hearts, that's like an umpire. He keeps things in bounds. He keeps things in check. And what does an umpire do in a game? Like baseball, calls strikes, calls fouls. Foul ball, you know, hey, you're out, hey, or out, safe. There you go, get my hand signals right. And that umpire brings order as well. And so that's what the peace of God will do in your life. He will bring order to your life, get rid of the chaos, and brings order. So we all make hundreds of decisions every day. And most of them aren't about what's right or wrong. Most of them aren't about, is this a biblical principle? Do not steal, do not kill, do not lust. Most of the time we don't make decisions like that. Those are the easy ones, really. But the ones that are hard are the decisions we make every day. Hey, yeah, do I marry this girl? Hey, do I take this job or that job? Hey, do I go to Bravehearts? Hey, do I go to Life Group? Which one do I go to? You know, there's tons of decisions that we make every day that we need something to help guide us. And that's what the peace of God will do. He will umpire that. He will help you stay in the on the path and how to have peace about that. So, you know, one of the things I had to choose is about, man, I lost my cotton. What am I going to do with this stuff? Am I going to plant milo? Am I going to plant corn? There was a lot of things that I had to think about, and I'll get more to that later. And then the other thing about God's peace is it's tangible. It's something you can hang on to. It's something that you don't have to wonder about it. It just comes over you and says, hey, this is what you should do. So through prayer and seeking godly wisdom in your decisions, you can sense it, you can feel it, and you're set at ease. It's like coins in your pocket, pocket knife in your pocket. You can feel it. You know it's there. You know there's evidence of it. So in the case of what to plant, I prayed about it for several days. I talked to other guys about it. I talked about guys with varieties and different things. I considered it and prayed, God, I need wisdom on what to plant. And then I decided, yep, I'm planting milo. And I was just at ease about it. It was just like, whew, man, thank you, Lord, that you've given me direction on what to do. And so that's what peace will do for you. It will guide us. One thing that you need to know is God never uses fear to guide us. And what I mean is, have you ever been to something like a car lot? Hey, man, there's a good deal on this car, but as soon as you walk off the lot, you don't get it no more. That's fear. That's called fear of missing out. Hey, I'm going to miss it. If I make the wrong choice, I'm going to miss totally out and never get this opportunity back. That's the enemy lying to you, robbing you of your peace. If there's an anxiety about a decision, man, just hang on, wait. Don't try to force anything. That's what the enemy does. He wants you to get to make a bad decision and gets you totally off track. And that's what the peace of God is for, to guide us. And then the next thing, number two, peace is what God uses to guard our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. There's a lot of stuff there. So let's say you go to the doctor, and you know you got a little bit of high blood pressure, and the doctor says, you know what, this ain't that bad. We can control it with the diet. We can control it with exercise, and you're going to be all right. So at that point, you have a choice to make of whether you take his advice or just continue living the life the way you want to. And it's the same thing with being anxious. Paul is saying here, do not be anxious. He says you have a choice. He says, choose peace. So that's something I never thought I could do, is choose peace. He wouldn't have told us to do something if it wasn't possible. So I'm thinking, dude, that's cool. But you don't understand, somebody may say. That's just the way I'm wired. I'm just an anxious person. I'm born this way. Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of people that believe that lie as well, that, hey, man, my dad was anxious. My granddad was anxious, so I'm anxious too. I've heard the same story. My grandpa was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic, and I'm the same way. My grandpa was a pervert. I'm a pervert. No, man, that's a lie. That happened one choice at a time. And we can choose to be at peace one good choice at a time. We can be free from anxiety today. So I'm excited about that for you guys. I'm excited about that for myself. What is promised, if we choose peace with God, it will guard our hearts and minds. That's what we want. We want to be guarded, don't you? That's what I want. It's like a military kind of guard. It will be defended, protected, fought for, and covered. Yeah, I mean, that's just something. Just imagine yourself in a battle and being covered, being protected. You know, it's more than just your helmet. It's more than just that body armor that David's got on over here to protect. It's the peace of God that protects you, that covers you. It goes beyond understanding and circumstances. You will be at peace even in the middle of troubled times. Man, what a joy to be at peace, even when 2011 come, even when all these bad years come on the farm, even when you lose a job, even when things are not good at work, you can be at peace. Good stuff. Number three, peace is vital to our witness. Ephesians 6:15, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So I feel like everybody's really not looking at me this morning. I feel like there's something going on down here, a little lower. Anybody knows these shoes? Dude, these shoes are rocking, huh? Do I look right in these things? They look like me? No. Berlin's telling the truth over there. No, I had to borrow something this cool. I don't have anything this cool, man. Kobe hooked me up with these shoes. But that's probably the first thing y'all noticed when I walked up here is these shiny gold shoes, man. They're awesome. Tell you what, that's what peace looks like to an unbeliever. It's attractive to them. It draws them in. That's what the shoes of the gospel of peace do. It's recognizable. It's something that the world, people in the world do not have, and it's so important for us to walk in peace, and it draws in people that don't have it. It draws in the world. It draws in the unbelievers. The only peace they know is the world's peace, things like relationships, jobs, money, going to this concert. I mean, just all kinds of stuff that the world offers that's just shallow. Hey, it feels good for a minute, but the next morning you're like, dang, now what do I got to do to find some peace? Man, let's put on the gospel shoes of peace and walk in this stuff every day. And it will make a difference in our witness to people. They'll say, man, that guy's got something I don't have. I want it. And so, you know what, guys? It'll be amazing who comes up to you and you're wondering, hey, what's different about you? My shoes? You know? But the thing is, these shoes really ain't me, but peace is. Peace is really who you are. So let's walk in that. Let's get on with that. So it's not for self-focus. It's not to gain attention. Rather, the gospel shoes of peace are for pointing people to Jesus. This brings a shift in our lives, and then we begin to think of others, pray for others, have compassion, love, intercede for people. It just makes a difference in the way we live every single day. It's a vital part of God's armor, so let's suit up. Y'all ready? Cool, let's do it. So now that we know what peace can do for us, how do you get you some? Remember, it's a gift. How do I get peace? It is a gift. We receive it, right? We talked about that. So number one is submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. James 4:7. Y'all have heard this hundreds of times. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And pew, paya, he's gone. Man, chaos is gone. Peace is here. Submit to God. Nothing in your life is going to happen unless you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You want any fruit of the Spirit, anything, you got to submit to God first. And then he'll move in our life. If there's pride, if there's you thinking your way's better than his, man, his peace is not coming. He will not force peace on you. He's not going to force that. He says, no submission, no peace, nothing, nada, zero. It ain't happening. Isaiah 9:6-7. This is a Christmas verse. I like this one. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Come on. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So I'm going to make a line right here. It's going to start right here. And who wants more government in your life? Come get in line. Nobody? Even though Trump's making America great again, you don't want more of that? Oh, okay, fine. That I don't either. I don't want more of government life. I want to be able to operate and do, operate in freedom. Amen. And so what peace comes when we submit to the government of the Lord in our lives. His rule, his way, his reign, okay? We got to submit to that. I remember we had a grain truck, and I was learning to drive those grain trucks, and I used to love it. Big old engines and those things, just roaring. Well, anyway, those grain trucks had a governor on them, and that thing would rev up to like 3,000 RPM, and next thing you know, it just kind of flattens out right there. But the deal is that governor was there to let that truck operate within limits, to contain that power, to keep it from destructing, to protect it. And that's what the government of God is in our lives, is to protect us. We still are who we are. We still have the power of God in us, but we operate within limits. That's what that governing is in our lives, and that brings peace. When we start thinking we can do everything, all things, and have no rules, Paul talked about that. That's foolishness, and that does not bring peace. So let's submit. Let's do that. Submit to the Lord and his government in our lives. It's a good thing, okay? Number two is diligent, faith-filled prayer. Here's Philippians 4:7 again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What Paul is saying here is the way to not be anxious, okay? This is key right here. Pray diligently. So what does that look like? Stay after it. Keep on keeping on. Don't give ask. Continue to ask, seek, and knock. Those are verses in the Bible. Do it daily, all the time, anytime. Humbly, earnestly, without ceasing. It's like looking for a pocket knife for a $100 bill. You know, you lose your pocket knife. Man, I lose my knife. I got to have it. I use that thing every day, and I don't cease until I find it. If you guys lost a $100 bill, you're going to look for that thing, because I was going to take my wife out, and we got to have that, man. We're going out to eat and having fun. You're going to look for that. That's what peace is at, like. You stay after that in prayer, in supplication. Just, it doesn't end. So praying a faith-filled prayer is unloading your concerns onto the Father and expecting Him to act. Okay? Put it in His hands. So I got a picture right here, and I want you to see who you identify with in this picture. So you got a daddy there, you got a baby, you got a backpack full of stuff, little horse hanging there, and there's water. I mean, there's all kinds of provision in that sack. So who are you in that picture? Who do you want to be in that picture? Maybe that's a better question. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. That's what that little kid has done. I mean, he's a baby. He don't know. But he's put everything on his daddy. He's even on his daddy's back. He's letting daddy carry him. He's letting daddy provide for him. He's letting daddy change the diapers. He's letting daddy carry his provision. He's letting daddy carry his food. He's letting daddy carry the toys. I mean, every bit of it. How many of us do that? How many of us cast our anxieties on the Father? Nobody's raising their hand, maybe a few head shakes. How many of it are doing it ourselves? Come on. Exactly. Let's change the way we operate, y'all. Let's cast all our cares on Him. He cares for us. Let's put our anxieties on Him. Let Him carry that load. He says, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. That yoke is being together with Father God. Letting Him carry that load. Letting Him direct the path. Working together with the Father. Man, that's peaceful, y'all. The deal is, we are sheep, okay? Y'all have heard that before. We are the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. We are sheep, and we're not designed to carry a load. Have you ever been around sheep? Can you put a load on them and expect them to do anything? No, man, them things freak out. They run, they jump, they die. I mean, that's about all they do. They're a problem, and I think the deal is, it's no coincidence that we start carrying a load, we get sick, we get ill, and we die. I mean, stress messes us up. We're not designed to do that, y'all. So how do you cast your anxieties on the Father? How do you pray? You know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about diligent, faith-filled prayer. It looks like this. Number one, make a list of what you're carrying. Father, I don't know if this year is going to work out. I'm worried, concerned, anxious about this Milo. I sprayed it. Is it gonna mess it up? Is it gonna grow? I'm concerned. My cotton is like 3 weeks behind. I don't see a bloom yet. What am I gonna do? I mean, is it gonna make it? Put that on your list and then pray over your list with thanksgiving. God, I thank you that you've given me wisdom to plant this Milo. Father, I thank you that you've given me a cotton crop. And there's things I can do to help that cotton crop. Herbicides I can put on it. Thank you, Father, for these amazing things that will slow the cotton down and help it to grow. Thank you for that, Father. God, I thank you that we have wells that we can pump water out of the ground. Man, when you start thanking God for stuff, it just changes your perspective altogether. Instead of making it a gripe session, God, what am I going to do? Don't you see what this cotton's doing? How come the weather's this way? You know, that just doesn't work. God does not respond to that at all. And so you've made your list. You've prayed over it with thanksgiving. Number three, Father, you know these things I'm carrying. Unload them on you. Father, I can't do a thing about it. I can't do a thing about the weather. It is what it is. And God, I trust that you're working out your provision regardless of what the situation looks like. Number four is pretty easy. Y'all do this in the shower every night. You look at the shampoo bottle. What does it say? Lather, rinse, repeat. Exactly. You just do this over and over again until you have cast that anxiety on the Father, that worry, that load, that provision on Him, and peace will come. If it don't happen the first time, do it again. It's one prayer away, like the story we've talked about over the past couple of weeks. It may be prayer 7, it may be prayer 700, but continue. Don't give up. It puts the control in His hands and the load on His shoulders. So let's do that. Number three is the proper mindset. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So that's what we're doing. I remember the first time I started practicing this, keeping my mindset, putting my mind in the right place, in an area of life that I was experiencing no peace. There was chaos going on, and this is a principle, it's just something that I learned to do to keep my mind at peace. So if my mind, it says, you know, keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, put my mind on Jesus. Okay. I remember seeing a picture of Jesus growing up. He's standing there glowing all white, and there's a bush right there, and he's standing, and he's just, you know, looking at a bush, looking all content and happy. I'm like, man, that ain't doing nothing for me. I can't think of that all day. Man, that's kind of, sounds kind of goofy to me, kind of boring. But here's what Philippians 4, 8, and 9, here's that good chapter again. It tells us what to think about, y'all. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is, okay, let me back up. As I read this list, I want you guys to either close your eyes or just think or of the words that I'm saying that I'm reading and see what the Holy Spirit brings to mind to give you to think about, okay? This is what we do. This is practical, y'all, how to change your mindset. So I'm going to read this list of things to think of and just see what comes to mind. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, commendable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about those things. Come on, did anybody think of anything?
Yes.
Holy Spirit reveals some stuff? Exactly. So what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Romans 8:6, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit, life.
Hallelujah.
And peace.
Yes, yes.
Let's change our mindset, y'all. It's not sitting there thinking, you know, just kind of humming or whatever. I remember when I first started doing this, I was on the combine. And I'm thinking, Lord, this machine is awesome. It's incredible. It's excellent. Thank you for putting this idea in some man's mind, John Deere, Mr. Case, or whoever invented that thing years ago. It's amazing what this thing can do. Father, I thank you for my lovely wife. Man, in spite of all my shortcomings, in spite of everything I screw up, mess up, and foul up on, she has still loved me and stayed with me for 31 years. God, I thank you for that. I mean, there's tons of things we can transform our mind to think about, okay? So just make that a practice. That's good. So that's what we just did. We verbalized those true, honorable, and trustworthy things. And the second thing that I've learned to help change my mindset is praise and worship. How many of y'all like praise and worship?
Glory.
Come on, Kirby is the first one with his hands up back there. That's cool. Josh, I know you do too. So that's what we're going to do right now, praise and worship. It's amazing what that'll do for you when you start singing, when you start praising God. And so anyhow, we're going to have the words on the screen. This is a song that the old guys will probably know. Some of the young guys might know. I'm going to lead us out. The guys that you know this, sing it loud with me, and we'll do it together. Is that one up there, Jim Bob? Yeah, this is called Victory in Jesus. Y'all know this song? Come on, let's sing it. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me
and brought me with his Jesus.
Thank you, God. Bless your name. Praise you, Jesus. To victory beneath the cleansing flood. Man, that will transform your heart, guys. That'll give you a new mindset. That'll give you something to focus on, what Christ has done for you, what he's going to do, where you're headed. Peace of God is something we can't live without. And I want every one of us to experience that. It can be done. So let's do that today. You know, the last thing, the big idea is where I put my eyes determines my peace. Amen. We're going to put our things on either eternal things or temporal things. We're going to put it on the truth of God, or we're going to put it on the lies of the world. So the choice is ours. It's up to us what we're going to do. So there's some discussion questions that y'all can choose and talk about there at your table. And let me pray for us right quick, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for this day. God, I praise you for what you've done for us. God, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. God, you've designed us to be followers of yours, to be sheep. So God, I pray right now that every man in this room will unload their anxieties, unload their worries, unload their cares upon your shoulders, Father. Let you carry that load, and Father, we'll just follow you. Father, I thank you for your voice. Your sheep hear your voice, and they come and they follow you. God, we pray in the name of Jesus, and thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.